Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
Everyone always asks me, where does your name come from? And it's like, I don't know.
You just made it up one day.
That's exactly
like,
right.
Literally, we started, 2018, and right before the show, you were. It was like maybe our second show that we recorded together. You were just like, oh, by the way, you're Ziggy now. I'm going to call you Ziggy.
But there had to be a reason, and I just don't remember it.
I don't remember either.
You know, because I don't know if it's Ziggy Stardust. I don't remember what I was doing, but doesn't matter because it stuck.
And we've said, you know, since it's Catholic, it's Ziggy Ashtadust.
Yeah, oh, yes. That's nice. Yes, that's very, very good. That's very good. Well, you know, it's just the two of us in the luxurious corner booth. It's kind of empty.
We can make it if we try.
That's a joke. We can do it, yes. Just the two of us.
And I.
So we have our buddy Venerable Tom is not here. In fact, this show is going to be about going and making disciples, about missionary discipleship. And so when Tom heard that we were going out, he wanted to get his hair done. So he said as he was walking out the door, I don't want people to see me like this. So we pray that he'll be back soon, but not for this show. So what are we going to talk about today? If you're looking at the scripture readings, which I'm sure everyone does, sitting at home, you know, they got the readings. See, I'm killing time while I'm opening up my phone. I don't know if you knew that or not, but in the gospel, which is taken from Luke, there's a longer form and a shorter form. But I'm kind of breeze through this longer form real quick because it tells us a lot about what it means to be to be on mission. So. This is from Luke chapter 10. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and fall upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" That's a really powerful testimony.
That's so awesome.
I know. I love that. I love that. And so I'm going to go home and I'm going to have scorpions for lunch, I think. I don't know. This is super exciting. But it's just interesting to me. I'm fascinated by this particular reading because here Jesus is kind of laying down a rule, right? You know, like the rule of Saint Benedict or the rule of Saint Francis or any of the orders, the religious orders. They have a rule. They have this is what we do. This is how we do it, and everyone lives by that. And Jesus is laying down a rule, and it's essentially a rule about the missionary church. And when I read that, there's two things here. One is it's cool.
Yeah.
To me, I really love the idea that, there is real power the Lord gives us, right, in being missionaries. But at the same time, the other thing that I think is maybe it's a little bit of Satan. I don't know, but it's like I would be a terrible missionary because I'm sitting there reading these things, going, "This is not going to be easy, right?" It's just it's not going to be easy. I mean, there are things like you know, eat whatever's put in front of you. Well, I hate onions, and there's a lot of people that love onions, and they're going to be, "Oh, let's get the best meal we can. Let's put some extra onions in there because Deacon Jeff is here."
Well, I mean, let's not forget the words of our Lord that if you cannot have a good time, you cannot be my disciple. Wasn't that what he said?
Something like that, yeah. And you know, and that's and I think that's the point of all this. That really a missionary, the missionary church, it's not about the missionary, right? Yeah. It's not about you. And so all of these rules, right, are really really about, you know, they're really about the work and not the worker. It's not about glorifying the worker. And you don't get, like, at the end he doesn't say, "And whoever brings back the most disciples in the first month gets a bonus."
Right. I mean, there's the parable of the servants where, you know, the servants are admonished, you know, am I you supposed to be, what, thanked because you did what you were supposed to do?
That's
like,
right.
Just keep doing what you're supposed to do, you know?
Exactly right. It's not about that. But these things that he says, like, first of all, he tells them, you're going to be sent out like lambs among the wolves. All right. So you there's a vulnerability there. And it expect persecution, by the way. Right. Yeah. That's you need to expect that. And then he says, no money bag, no sack, no sandals. It's like, what? Wait. Okay, so what are we doing here? You know, it's like, and go out. I mean, so you're going to be walking these roads and you've got no provisions, right? And then it's like into whatever, greet no one along the way. Don't stop and chit-chat and say, "Hey, you know, we're on our way to save souls. We're missionaries." You know, you don't do that because that's really about self aggrandization or self glorification or, you know, "Look at me, man. I'm all discipling here. I'm a missionary." You know, pat me on the back, and maybe if you had a little extra food there, you kind of hand it over to me or whatever as I'm going along. And then this business about you know, offer peace to the household. This is an interesting little interaction. He says, into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. What that means to me is I'm listening to that. It means that when you say peace upon this household, peace upon this household, or peace be with you. And think about that whenever you're at an Episcopal Mass, when the bishop's there and he says, "Peace be with you." When that's said, something real is happening.
Yeah.
Because it specifically, Jesus says specifically, it will rest on him if it's a peaceful person. But if not, it will return to you. And in other words, it's like, "Hey, I'm giving you this gift of bolstering your peace." But it's like, if you don't want it, whatever, I'll take it back and give it to another guy. In other words, it's actually a commodity. It's actually something that has value. Right, it's not just words. It's not empty words. "Hope you have a nice day." Jesus doesn't say, "Tell them to have a nice day."
I've actually, it's only a couple of times that I've actually used it in situations where there were a couple of people where things were really high friction and high tension. I knew that there was a lot of anger going into the situation, when I initiated the conversation, like in person, I think, because it's been a few years, I said, you know, "Peace be with you, my brother," and actually it worked, you know.
Isn't
like
that amazing?
I could see that there was a receptivity to the peace, but I figured, why not try, you know what I mean? And it's in the Bible, and God does work through it, you know.
Yeah, there's a realness to it, right? It's not just empty words. That's what I love. Then it says, stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another, right? See, again, that's all about, like, "Hey, did you hear the rock star's in town? You know, Taylor Swift is in town, so she's going to stay here, and then she's going to stay there. She's going to, you know, be at this party and at that party." Because it seems like people's like, "Oh, I want to have the missionary over here, right? And I want to show them a good time, and, you know, give them a good dinner and whatever. And then tomorrow night they can stay with you, and then it's like this tour." You know, that you're on tour in the town. And again, this is all about, the focus is on Jesus. It's simplicity, right? And you're not flitting about from one place to the next, gathering up like, oh, look at me, I'm a missionary. It's not about that. It's about Jesus.
And Paul warned against super apostles, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and then, of course, it talks about the dust on your feet, you know, kicking it off if it's a bad town. Because there has to be a public testimony. I mean, you're basically given testimony or really sort of a preliminary judgment, you know, on that town to say, look, this is a stinky town. Y'all need to do something. Y'all need to figure it out. You can't just leave quietly. You know, you've got to let them know why the Lord would be unhappy with that town because they didn't receive his word or his gospel. And then, of course, they do have the power to cure the sick, right, and say the kingdom of God is at hand for you, right? How cool that is. And it goes on to start talking about, behold, I've given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. Man, you know? And I know that's where we get some of our, we'll just say our Eastern Tennessee churches up in the hills, you know, that like a little bit of snake handling and whatnot, you know, and it comes from verses like this where, you know, nothing's going to harm you. But it's not about like using venomous snakes to show the power of the Lord.
Right.
This verse is not about, so take a snake with you to prove to people that you can take a snake bite, right? That's not what this is about. This is just saying that whatever they throw at you, right? And there might be a venomous snake, I don't know. Whatever they throw at you will not harm you.
Well, Missionaries of Charity, for example, I mean, they, from their beginning, they've been active for decades now, obviously. And they always move to the worst part of a city, you know, because they want to be closest to the poorest of the poor. I mean, that's been an active, you know, objective of them. And these are women who are living just, you know, without any sort of protection. They don't train them in kung fu or anything like that.
That's right. That's right.
And they don't carry guns. And generally speaking, I know a few years ago there was a pretty famous thing where some missionaries of charity, I believe, were martyred for the faith. But with that exception, generally speaking, they have not been attacked. They've gone into all of these areas and lived there, places that a lot of people would just bypass or say, oh, that's not an area I want to go to. They live there, and they go unharmed.
Now, interestingly, you're mentioning that, and that's a brilliant point. And really, it's missionary work like this is not for the faint of heart. So if you're going to join an order, you really are giving your life over, right? It's it's not just like, well, if I have some spare time on the weekend, I'll join this order and do this stuff. But that's not for everybody, right? Not everyone is called into the religious life in that way or to be a missionary priest or whatever. But I will say this, every one of us is called to be a missionary, every single one of us. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on, because if you think about what Jesus' last words on the earth before he ascended into heaven, what they were. So this is not his last words on the cross. This is basically the Great Commission, right? And it starts with go therefore. Right, he told us to go, and he says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the close of the age. But this whole idea is like, it's go. It's not, he didn't say, you know, sit therefore, rest comfortably therefore in your parish pew, right? Hear the words I've said to you, let them comfort you, and then sit there and sit with them. He doesn't say that. He tells us to go and then literally go and make disciples of all nations. And that's our call, every one of us. In fact, I always joke when I'm talking to a group, I always tell them, you know, you need to be thankful for your deacons, because if it weren't for the deacons, you'd still be sitting at Mass, because we do the dismissal. The deacon's the one that will say, in the Latin, dismissal is ite missa est, which basically all it says is go and be sent. That's really all that's saying. It's go and be sent. But the thing is, and notice the word misa, which means being sent, that's the root of the word missionary. So essentially the deacon or the church, the deacon on behalf of the church, is saying, you are on mission. Don't sit here. You've just received Eucharist. You've just received the saving words of the gospel, right? You've had preaching. You've been uplifted. You've received the graces that come at a mass, and you're not to sit with that. You are now called to go out. And the mission field in your life may very well be your home, may be your workplace, may be the grocery store, it may be the ballpark, it may be wherever you just find yourself walking through the park. This is the mission field.
Well, and I think this is an issue also. It's a moment we should talk about discipleship.
Yeah.
And disciple makers. You know, there's a very famous priest who he built up a church, a parish that he led, where it went from just a few thousand to like 14,000 in a matter of just a few years. And he had a lot of great discipleship efforts at his parish. But something that he realized was they had successfully built a lot of disciples, but they were lacking in disciple makers. And he and his... you know, the group of people that had sort of developed during the time of that ministry had really leaned into this problem within the church of not actually like connecting that dot of making that we have people who are willing to be poured into, but not necessarily willing to go proactively and pour into others. And this doesn't work. This doesn't work if we don't take that step, and that includes the laity. Yes, obviously the chief disciple makers are the apostles and the clergy of the church, but we, the laity, we are called to go. All of us are called to go make disciples.
Jesus told us to.
Yes.
Right? And yes, it starts with the apostles, but they really hand this duty onto us. I mean, it's not just them. It's like when people ask about like teaching the faith, or you know, it's like, well, who's responsible for teaching the faith? Well, the chief in your diocese is going to be the bishop, right? He's going to be the episcopus, the keeper of our souls, right? Overseer, and he's the chief liturgist. He's the chief. You know, he teaches the doctrine. He's responsible for it in his boundaries. But the thing is, he's not doing it on his own.
Right.
Right? We're all, every one of us is called.
Well, and if you look at just the mathematics of it, right, there's something they call the principle of spiritual multiplication, right? And it's a very simple mathematical principle because it's just the principle of exponential growth. But if you, let's imagine that you decide today that you are going, over the next 5 years, you're going to find and mentor two other Christians, and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to walk alongside you. I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to try to do everything I can to be a living witness of Christ in your life, a living sacrifice of his love in your life. All I ask, and you ask this of each of them, is to find two more people to love and to love them as I have loved you. Right. And of course, we are then each loving those people as we have been loved by other people. But yes, it begins, of course, the source is God. Right. Because we love because he loved us first. And then he pours that love into us and it pours out. So if you run the math of that, guys, where one, it starts with just one person loving two people radically.
Yeah.
And then, but then calling to them to mission to find two people to also love in that way. Even if you stretch it where they have 5 years, guys, it takes like, I think it's something like 165 years or something like that, for you to have more Christians in the world than there are people. It covers the entire population. That begins with one. We've got right now a church of 1 billion worldwide. You know, and so if just some of us were taking this up and saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the hard work for a few years of pouring into people, and I'm going to be bold enough to ask them to form missionary disciples, you know, and following our Lord's lead, this would change the world dramatically.
Think about all the parishes. I think there's some challenges I think parishes have, and one of them is, we live in a very consumer-focused culture, right? It's like, so if someone says, like, what makes a successful church? What makes a successful parish? Like, what does success look like? Well, it's a lot of people, right? Okay, so the successful church has a lot of people. And what attracts those people? Well, they have great music. They have a coffee bar. They have really good child care. They've got all these things, and they got an excellent preacher. It's air conditioned. You can go down the list of creature comforts and things that appeal to people and that make a church essentially, in the world's view, successful. That's a big church. It's a mega church or whatever. But really, that's not what makes a church successful. A successful church is one that makes disciples. That basically is a disciple factory. That is essentially its work is creating disciples and following the admonition of our Lord in going and make disciples of all nations. And the thing is, we have this consumer culture, and so sometimes churches really fall to that, and they're like, "Well, how can we attract people here? We need better music because the kids don't like the old music. They want the new music, you know, so let's get some of that 1960s Jesuit stuff." You know, I'm kidding, but that's
right.
And it's like it's all this looking for things, and then you have people like where some of our Protestant brothers and sisters have a stage instead of an altar, and they may have entertainment, and we can go down a path of, and then some of our Catholics churches sometimes fall into that trap of like, how can we, let's move the choir out front, let's have a lead singer,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize, well, this is consumer culture.
Yes, and at the end of the day, I think we need to ask ourselves, are we in the church, are we catering actively to the consumer heart rather than doing the work of forming servant hearts? And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, and I think when we are focused, it makes sense that if a parish is going to have their eye on the bottom line, they're going to see how many people do we have in the seats, how many people are writing checks, folks do we have who are volunteering for the fish
there are
fry
bean counters that
like
are going to be there, yes,
yeah,
and that's necessary to some degree.
Yeah, there's a difference between a church being in maintenance mode and being in mission mode.
Yeah, 100%.
And here's the thing, it begins with each of us. Are we willing to hear the mission that God is calling in our lives? And yeah, it could be a big fancy mission, going out into the world and having a wonderful Holy Spirit adventure, serving the poorest of the poor, like the Missionaries of Charity or something else, you know, that God might call. God calls people to exotic things. But here's something that we, regardless of whether it's far away or right here, God is calling you to real love. That's what he's calling you to radical love by and through him, and to love people in such a way that you pouring them with pouring love into them is going to cause that love to pour out to others.
Yes, amen. And that's really, really a powerful concept of this idea of passing this on. The whole idea is it doesn't stay. Now, I want to clarify something. I was talking about our separated brothers and sisters in Christ, the Protestants, and some of them are very focused on and have very entertaining things. But I know that there are many, many, many good Protestant churches that are not focused on entertainment. And they actually do a pretty good job. They're the ones that came up with this term church planting. And the whole idea was you make disciples, and those disciples move out of the mother church, the mothership or whatever, and then move into smaller areas, and they plant a church here and plant a church there. Now, that's not necessarily a Catholic concept. We don't understand it that way. But we do Jesus plant. I mean, the whole idea is that we're going to plant the seeds of the gospel wherever we go, so that people are drawn to the sacraments. They're drawn to the Holy Church, and that's what's important. It's not about building up your membership, right? It's about building up the awareness and the understanding that Jesus loves you, and that he loves everyone, and that everyone needs to know this love. And so it's incumbent upon you to take this love and to share this love with whoever you meet, right? By word and by example. And that's the heart and the soul of this. And I think too often we think someone else is supposed to do that. You have people like, well, I'm on the missionary committee, or I'm not on the missionary committee. And you've got this like, well, so that's their job to go out and knock on doors. And my job is to make sure, you know, I'm on the grief ministry, or I'm on the, you know, the whatever ministry, donut ministry. It's like, I'm doing this. This is my thing to do. But all of us, Jesus didn't say, now some of you will be called to go and make disciples of all the nations, right? He didn't say that. He said, go, right? Go therefore. And there was no qualifier. It's everyone, right? And so the church is in the job of making disciples. And this is fundamental. It's not gathering members. The church, he didn't say go and build mega churches, go and build these big giant edifices to worship the Lord. Yes, do we want big giant edifices to worship the Lord? Yes, we do. But that's not what our mission is. Our mission is to share this gospel message with whoever we meet, whoever we encounter. And really, to be honest with you, this is why there's been so much focus of late from Pope Francis, God rest his soul, and now I Pope Leo has taken up the mantle, I think, sharing this gospel message of hope and love with those who are on the periphery, those who are marginalized, those who don't get to hear it regularly. And there are billions of people in the world that are not Christian. And so there is a vast mission field. Now, I'm not saying that everyone's called to go and share the gospel with every single person, but you are at least called in your environment to share the gospel with whoever you know. And even when you think that they're already, oh yeah, they're already Christians. Are they? Right? Are they? And so that's our job. So let's all together go therefore, and let's ask the Blessed Mother to be with us on this mission. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.